This is the Florida Spectacular Podcast with your hosts, Kathy Silustri and Rick Kilby. Keep up with Kathy at greatfloridaroadtrip.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Silustri. Find Rick on Twitter at OldFLA and visit his website, rickkilby.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of Florida Spectacular. How you doing over there, Rick?
It's a nice, humid day here. I went for a little jog this morning, and I'm feeling it right now.
I mean, it's a little humid for a jog. I'm not going to start running again until, I would think, at least October, maybe November.
You know, it's almost like there's a point of diminishing returns where you know, you want to push it, but you don't want to push it too hard. So you have to really, I mean, at least this is what I do. I try and pay attention to my body, and it's like, okay, I'm going to walk now. I'm just going to slow down, get a drink, walk. It's tough.
I don't run after sunrise in Florida. I just think that's the best possible rule of thumb. I swim in the summer, and then when the pool starts to get too cold, I go back to running. So
what's your pool temperature about now?
Oh, well, the St. Pete Beach pool is in the 80s, and I hate that, but because I'm swimming laps, it's okay. Our pool temperature has to be in the 90s for me to go in. I won't do it.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be happy with a hot tub, but it's probably in the 90s. Actually, I can check because we have a newfangled fancy pool app that came with the pool. And I can tell you exactly what the temperature is in the pool. It is, it's only 87 today so far. So.
Wow. I have to say, I've been working in the lake a little bit. There's cattails kind of invading the lake shore.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
I know. I'm trying to get them out. And it feels like bathwater. But today was awesome because I went down to the lake. I wasn't going to pull any cattails. I just go down to the lake every morning. And there was a massive snapping turtle down there. It looks like a dinosaur. And it's like,
dinosaurs.
Those are those things that happen that make me just so glad I'm living in Florida. And there's still this connection to nature that we can have on a daily basis if we just get outside.
I mean, how many gators do you see in your pond?
Never seen an alligator there.
Really? You know they're there, right?
It could be. They very well could be. I've seen them in other lakes in the area. Usually, if you see them in a lake with houses around, they have them removed pretty quickly. But it's possible. I've seen otters. I've even seen a fox, which is crazy because I live 2 miles from downtown Orlando. But otters pretty frequently. So I love the amount of wildlife. Occasionally, you know, we get white pelicans, which is the weirdest thing.
I love that in the winter.
Yeah, I do too.
I have to say that was one of the cool things when I lived in Central Florida is when I was out at UCF, I was driving, and this was before UCF had all the buildings because I'm old. And I was driving through what used to be called the research area, which was pretty much just still wild. And I saw a fox, and I just thought that was one of the coolest things that I liked about Central Florida. Speaking of things that are wet, we said we were going to talk about dive bars this week.
Yes, I'm excited about this. And there's a couple things that made me think about this. One was I stumbled across this video on social media of some guys pulling out a boat from Crystal River, you know, at a boat ramp. And there was obviously liquor involved because it was almost like a comedy act. It was like the worst Florida man kind of skit you could do. And unfortunately, it was real. So, you know how it is. You take the boat trailer and you go down to the ramp and then you bring the boat in. And then if you're doing it right, you hook it to the winch and you crank it up. Well, these gentlemen decided that the guy would just stand in the boat and hold the back of the pickup truck. So guess what happened?
I'm going to guess somebody has a lot of sand in their car right now.
No, the boat ended up on the boat ramp, you know, on the concrete, not on the trailer, but on the concrete. So then, you know, these guys ended up taking the boat trailer and pushing the boat back in the water to get it on the trailer. And you hear this horrible grinding sound as the fiberglass is getting ground down by the concrete on the boat ramp. But obviously there was liquor involved, and scary to think that those people got in their car after they managed to finally get it. And people were just coming around and just laughing and filming it on their phones. And so I think we have to have a caveat before we start our show that we recommend if you're going to drink responsibly.
Look, in the day of Uber and Lyft, there is no justification for getting into a car after you've had something to drink.
Or a truck pulling a boat.
Honestly, you shouldn't be in a boat either. I hate that we don't. I understand why there is no law against drinking and boating, but I do wish we were a little bit more rigorous about, hey, you still shouldn't be boating while you're intoxicated, because you shouldn't. And I mean, I live on the water. Trust me, it's a lot of something. But obviously, people are going to do what they're going to do. We'd like you all to be far more responsible. We thank you in advance for listening to this podcast in all sincerity. And then if you go to these dive bars, calling a Lyft home.
Yeah.
I have the best dive bar, and I will save it for last. But I want to start, before we do anything, I want to say that I did do a quick little Google, and we talked about dive bars, and I found an article about the best dive bars in Florida. And I just want to say, before we start, I don't appreciate people calling bars with courtyard seating and fancy umbrellas dive bars.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe we should qualify.
We've got to qualify what a dive bar is. So how do you do that?
It's dark, generally.
Yes.
Unless it's at the beach. There are some cool beach bars that are not dark, but I like it. I like it when you walk in and it's like you're almost in a cavern, and it's just kind of this cozy feeling, but you probably wouldn't want to see it with the lights on, kind of thing. There's a broad array of liquor. One of my favorites, so I'm going to jump right into it, is Whiskey Lou's. It's in the Milk District, which is, we have these little districts in Orlando, and it's kind of a marketing thing. Well, the Milk District is right by T.G. Lee Dairy, hence the name. Whiskey Lou's has been there forever, and I've kind of recently rediscovered. I went there years ago, and this is not for me, but now I started going back. So the first thing you see when you're walking to Whiskey Lou's is a cigarette machine with cigarettes in it. And that's so archaic these days. You hardly ever see cigarette machines. They used to be everywhere.
Still selling cigarettes?
It still sells cigarettes.
All right. Whiskey Lou's, there you go.
Does it allow smoking? I don't think you can smoke inside. They have a picnic table out back so people can go out back. But they don't take credit cards. It's cash only.
I like a good cash-only establishment.
It's cash-only. The drinks are strong and they're cheap. And, that's a thing. No bougie $15, $20 cocktail with artisanal ice and all that crap. It's, served in a plastic kind of those clear Dixie cup kind of things. They're big, tall pours, and they're like $5 for a cocktail.
So that's too fancy a dive bar. We have a dive bar in St. Pete. That's called the Emerald, which sounds so fancy.
On Central?
Yes.
I always wanted to go there.
So I have a friend who will not drink anything but bottled beer from the Emerald because she swears it's the only thing that will not have spider eggs in it. Emerald, I honestly don't know if they still allow smoking in the Emerald or not, but I feel like it does allow smoking. It's so embedded in there that I don't think anybody smokes in there. I've only been in there a handful of times because they do have live music. Like they'll have local people play and they're good. I've never seen anybody smoking in there. I know it allows smoking, but I'll tell you, the place is going to reek of smoke forever. They could stop allowing smoking today. We could come back in 1,000 years. Archaeologists could peel open the door of the Emerald. They'll be like, oh yeah, it smells like Marlboros. I mean, it is just a... if you read the Yelp reviews, it's adorable. Cheap drinks, dark inside, good service. That's all you need, right? I mean, and it is the dive bar. And what's so funny and what I love so much about this is that, look, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, when I was in college, downtown St. Pete was not a place you went. Like, it was not safe. And the Emerald, I don't know when they've opened. They've been around forever. St. Pete has evolved around the Emerald. I mean, we've got these million-dollar condos, high-rises, biodiesel electric buses taking people down to the beaches, fancy restaurants, and you've still got this. I swear to God, it's the same sign, the Emerald Cocktails, and it's got like the stone front on it, and it just looks like, it's almost like it's a time machine. Like you feel like I'm going to walk in here, and when I come back out, it's going to be St. Pete in 1974. Like it's really, to me, it is the quintessential dive bar. So I see your whiskey lose and raise you.
And I've never been in there. When I'm in St. Pete and on Central, I always stop and take a picture of the exterior. There's another one. There's a similar place in Winter Garden. It's called Tony's Liquors. It's right there by the museum.
And it's one of those. I saw that. We didn't stop in there because
I've never been in there. I'm a little bit intimidated, I have to admit. When I go in there, you know, I've opened the doors and it's like, maybe not.
Come on.
Yeah.
It, Rick, I believe in you.
So there are some that maybe are a little, yeah, I would do it in, if I, you know, if I had a group of people, I think I would go in there. And it's honestly, it's the same thing. You know, I'm sure that's been there longer than, you know, the kind of trendy downtown Winter Garden has been there.
Oh, you think
it's
so?
It's kind of a survivor. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mean, that's the mark of, you know, fantastic. I love reading Yelp reviews of dive bars because they are pretty evenly divided between this is a great neighborhood bar and, oh, my God. Now, it also allows smoking. They have a retail side,
right.
But they apparently have a very, friendly vibe. I mean, it looks like you'd be perfectly safe, Rick.
Yeah, I was just chicken when I was there, I guess. I should go give it a try because I love that place. When you went to UCF, did you ever go to Wally's?
The only bar I remember from being out at UCF is the one across the street from the main entrance to the university that got shut down during COVID and it was all over the news.
I don't know.
But I do know Wally's. I don't think I went there. You do. It was like the night pub or something because it was the only place they would let underage people drink. Like that was right outside the college.
There.
All the college kids went over there because they didn't get carded. I mean, but no, you're talking about Wally's on Mills in Orlando.
Yeah. Yeah, and it went out. It's been there forever, and you know it was the same thing as Tony's, where they had a liquor store as well, and it was legendary. The drinks were super strong. There was like two rooms. One room was kind of the liquor store, and then the main room was just this kind of rectangular bar, and then you know basically room enough for a stool and maybe one person to walk by, and that was it. So you had to. You know, it was like this building was built around the bar. And then they had this legendary wallpaper. It looked like very 1970s because it was kind of the brown and tans, 1970s color palette. And naked women, just kind of like, it looked like Woodstock, if Woodstock was all naked women. Kind of, that's the vibe you got from this crazy wallpaper.
Wait, I wasn't there. Woodstock is not all naked women?
No, there were some bands too.
Oh, I heard there were some music things. So that reminds me, I don't know if I would call this a dive bar necessarily, but I don't know what else to call it. Joni's Blue Crab.
Where's that?
In Okeechobee. I can never know how to say it. It's on US 41. Between Naples and Miami. So it's that stretch of 41 that goes east-west across the lower end of the state. And they have blue crab. They've got frog's legs. They've got food. Right? So it's not exactly a dive bar, but I don't know what else to call it. Because you drive by this place and it does not look, Michelin is not coming to visit. They have had for as long as I can remember on the blackboard, like if you want fast food, you can go 40 miles this way or 50 miles that way. Basically, you know, F you. They have drinks. They used to have a band playing there, Rayford Stark, all the time. But what I love, and this is what made me think of it, is if you go, we went there with some friends who do not know the Everglades in quite the same way I do. And we went there after a swamp hike, and a couple of the guys went to the bathroom and came back, and they said, "You're not going to believe this. There are pictures of naked women in the bathroom, but they're not young. They're not like pinups." And I'm like, "Oh, let me go to the bathroom and see what we got in there." And I walk in, and sure, I went into the ladies' room, and then sure enough, they had naked pictures of men, but you know what they were? They were Lucky Cole photographs. So, Lucky Cole is a guy who lives on Loop Road. He's a fantastic storyteller, but he is also a nature glamorous photographer. I don't know how else to explain this. Like, do you remember maybe 20 years ago, boudoir photos were all the rage?
Yeah. Longer than that. It was like 90s, maybe 90s and 80s.
That wasn't 20 years ago, huh? No. Okay. So he still does that, but he does it in the Everglades. So what you'll see is you'll see like a picture of a woman in cowboy boots standing outside a shed. Or a woman, I mean, they're the same idea. There's one, the woman's dressed up in a little naughty Santa costume standing next to a big old oil tank. So yeah, Joni's has these, and it's one of those things, if you know, right? But for these guys, they're like, why are there naked 70-year-olds in the bathroom? So it is not what I would say a traditional dive bar, in that there's no smoking. It's not dark, but I don't know what else to call it. And it is one of those Florida's experiences you have to have before you die. This is in your bucket list.
Okay.
And you made me think of it with the naked ladies.
Look at these fireworks. There's fireworks going off.
What are you doing? Are you making
fireworks? I'm not touching it. I'm not doing this. This is a weird Zoom thing.
You're like the guy who turned into a cat on Zoom, right?
Yeah. Well, so that reminded me, in terms of bathroom art at Wally's. So just let me say, Wally's is not the same. It closed. And I think John Morgan was thinking about buying it. He was a big fan. I don't think he bought it, but somebody made it. It's kind of bougie now. But they kind of made it an homage to its former self. So there was these condom machines in the men's bathroom that, I guess there was only one bathroom, actually. So it was men's and women's. And it had graffiti all over it. So when they made it bougie, they took that and turned it into art. And so now it's in the main area of the bar, and it still has all the graffiti and stuff on it. And they did. So it's kind of an homage to its old dive bar self that, you know, that it used to be. There used to be, actually, the owner used to be Wally, this guy with this big white beard. And he would, when I worked at Church Street Station, he would play Santa Claus every year. And the Christmas parties make me think of intoxication.
That's what happens at a lot of Christmas parties.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. We're finding all these great places, and it makes it sound like I think you and I really drink more than we do.
No, I usually have one beer, and I don't drink a whole lot. And I'm pretty much a lightweight these days. The one thing that I want to make sure that I say about dive bars, though, is there was a time I dated this woman, and she loved dive bar. So, you know, it was kind of like we didn't go past the dive bar without stopping there. And so many of those are gone now, and they're kind of an endangered thing. There's one that I love so much. It was near College Park in Orlando, called The Hideaway, and it's still there. But they're building a stupid multi-story condo apartment building thing there. And so it's getting a brand new building, and it won't be the same, you know. And, you know, I
it
makes
could
me
always
so mad.
It could always hang in there like the Emerald. You don't know.
Well, they've already sold out. They've already built the new building across the street. They may have actually moved across the street. You can see it's a nice looking place. Nice is a relative term, of course, but it doesn't look like a dive bar anymore. A lot of it, I think, is the light. You know, I was noticing Whiskey Lou's really doesn't have any windows.
You don't need to see what's going on there, and they don't need to see out. It's fine.
No.
So one more down south. And this is one I have not been in, but it definitely is on my bucket list. And that is the Last Chance Bar and Package. Have you, I don't think you are down in South Florida enough to be familiar with this, but have you heard of it before? Okay. So this really speaks to kind of a Florida, the mentality of when you go to the Keys, because it is Last Chance Bar and Package for 24 miles.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, if you can't go 24 miles without a drink, you've got a problem. But I love, because the sign outside advertises beer, booze, smokes, ice, snacks, inside toilets. Now, I got to go in there. I've got to find out what's going on. But it is a quintessential. It's right before you go over Card Sound or anywhere else to get to the Florida Keys. It's in Homestead. So it's definitely Last Chance Saloon. Jimmy Buffett mentions it in, what was his first book? He it's been around a while, is my point. Was it Tales from Margaritaville?
Important. Yeah, I think that's an important aspect.
The longevity. You know,
dive bars have to have some history. There's, we went to one this weekend, and it's a brand new place in College Park. And it's like, and it's got, there's a couple places that have dive bar in their name, and they're new. And it's like, you can't be a dive. It's one of those things. You can't just say, we're a dive bar. You have to earn it.
It's becoming trendy now. Like, so yes. I was reading this article in, I think it's the Pensacola News Journal, and they were listing, and it wasn't their list. It was a list from Southern Living, which Southern Living is not the magazine that should be ranking dive bars. Okay?
I saw that. I saw that too.
Right. And I mean, so they mention a couple. They mention Green Parrot in Key West. Now, I feel like when we get into the Keys and you start talking about dive bars, it's not a dive bar. So no disrespect to them. They mention No Name Pub, which isn't really a bar. And then they start to get into these that really upset me, like AJ's on Grayton Beach. And I'm like, no, if you have, that's the one that had like umbrellas and shaded seating and landscaping. No, that's not it. But
dive bars don't have landscaping.
They don't have landscaping. That's not where the money goes. No. Now, to me, the quintessential Florida dive bar is on this list. And I
is it, is it in your neck of the woods?
No, it is not. Why? Oh. Do you know of one in my neck of the woods?
On the beach. Well,
which
not,
one are
not
you thinking
Gulf,
of?
Gulfport. Mahuffers, or how do you say that?
Mahuffers. I've never been to Mahuffers.
I've been, and it, you know, a good friend of mine, we were in a group of people. My good friend of mine was a little grossed out by it, and he swore something fell off the ceiling and got in his eye. And he was making such a big fuss out of this thing in his eye and wash it out, and we had to leave.
So I take that back. In my very early 20s, I went into Mahuffers once, and I thought it was a restaurant. And I thought, I didn't live on that part of the beach, so I thought, well, I can go in there and get something to eat. And I remember saying, what do you, you know, can we see a menu? They're like, we have ham sandwiches. And quite honestly, Rick, I did not want a ham sandwich, so I turned around and left. But yeah, Mahuffers is definitely, given the price of beach real estate, I am pleased to see that they are still around. And I will tell you, the next time you're around, we'll go to the Emerald, we'll go to Mahuffers, and then we'll go go ahead
and take a nap.
Do something. Can I do my favorite dive bar to close out the podcast?
Yeah. Oh,
do you
let
have
me
more?
Make sure. Oh, I want to put in a plug for the Palace Saloon in Fernandina Beach, which I don't know. It's kind of on the edge of diviness, but it's the oldest bar in Florida, supposedly.
Well, it's in Fernandina Beach, and everything in Fernandina Beach is the oldest bar in Florida.
Pretty much. But okay, so I think you're set up now for your
it's okay. Have you been to the Palace Saloon?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not the last time I was in Fernandina, but the time before, and had a very nice cocktail. I love the atmosphere. I think there's some cool murals. Oh, there's a great bar. Well, it's so hard because some of the historic bars, maybe we should, that's a whole different show, is historic bars and restaurants. Or did we do that already?
No, I think there's always more to do. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking about the one in the that hotel in Cedar Key, Neptune Bar, I think, but it's kind of nice. And then there's the one that I always wanted to go to is the Everglade Rod and Gun Club. You know, that bar's high on my list. That's but it's not a dive. I wouldn't call it a dive.
No, that's not a dive. And we could do a whole podcast just on Rod and Gun Club. In fact, we should do a whole podcast on the Rod and Gun Club, but we should from the Rod and Gun Club.
Okay. Yeah, let's wait till winter. I'll totally do that. That sounds awesome.
Winter. That's true.
All right. Okay. Dun-dun-dun, drum roll. Your favorite dive bar in all of Florida is?
My favorite dive bar in all of Florida is the Floribama Bar.
Oh, that's legendary too. I've never been.
So I'm worried that it's losing its dive bar status, but it comes by it, honestly. So let me tell you what I like about the Floribama Bar. It is on the Florida, Alabama state line in Pensacola, technically Perdido Key. It is, I believe, 6 feet inside the Florida state line. So, they have every year in April, they have the Interstate Mullet Toss, where you toss mullet across the state line and whoever can toss it the farthest, obviously can make some money because there's cash prizes and people take it very seriously. And you can go, okay, that's ridiculous and it's stupid and throwing mullets. And I know the people for the ethical treatment of animals protest this, but every year they raise tens of thousands of dollars and they give it to like local children's charities. So I think that's a really cool thing. You know, the Interstate Mullet Toss, they also apparently have a polar bear dip, which you will never see me at. And they've now added all of these other events that they do, but they're a package store, a bar, a restaurant. Their signature drink is something called a bushwhacker, which is, I don't know how to describe it other than it's an incredibly boozy milkshake with a bunch of different rum in it. They have machines spinning them out 24 hours a day, as far as I can tell. Bunch of live music. There's one stage where it is apparently tradition when you're there to take off your bra and throw it up. And there's a clotheslines of bras that are like 20 feet up in the air, which I've never understood giving how much bras cost, but apparently there's a lot of people that have no problem doing this there. And then, honest to God, Rick, the best part is they also have a church every Sunday.
I was going to say, you were losing me with the machines, you know, making the cocktails like, you know, other establishments.
It's the only machine they have. Everything else is made by hand. It's just for the bushwhackers. Yeah. No, the church is, I mean, but it's this old wooden bar. And here's why I really like it. And I think it is the best divey bar is because at its heart, that's what it is. So it's a two-story wooden bar on the beach. I don't know if you pay attention, but hurricanes barrel through there with alarming regularity. And in 2004, it got hit successively by three hurricanes.
That was the year. Gosh.
That was the year. And I went there in 2011 for the first time when I was working on Backroads of Paradise. And I got the bar manager to give me a tour. And she said after, I think Jeannie was the last one, they walked back in and they had sand dunes inside the bar. And they basically had to have architects come out to be able to reopen. And she said at that point, she says, I want you to just pound your fist on the wall right next to you. And I did. And she goes, now look down at your feet. And a whole bunch of sand had come out from underneath the baseboard. And she said, we had to have architects out. They have insisted and assured us that the building is structurally sound, but they said there's never any way we're never going to get all that sand out. So, you know, pretty interesting stuff. You know, there's remnants of hurricanes from 20 years ago that will forever be in the walls of these bars. But also it took them in 2011 when I was there, and again in 2013 when I retraced the route for some edits, they were still reconstructing after 2004. Like they still had Tyvek up. It wasn't done. Now it's completely done. You know, until the next hurricane, I'm sure. I hope that they make it. They seem to be pretty stalwart when it comes to not going anywhere, but it's just this incredible energy. You know, they have this story about one night before everybody really knew him as well as they did, but he was fairly well known. Jimmy Buffett was supposed to play there. And, you know, people didn't realize, if they had never seen Buffett before, how not tall he was. He was not a tall man. So apparently Jimmy Buffett walked up, very unassuming, walked onto the stage, picked up the guitar, and before he could start to play, somebody came up to him and said, "Hey man, you can't be there. Jimmy Buffett's going to be on that stage in a little bit." So, I mean, it's just kind of a very cool place that's gotten, you know, unfortunately, or I guess good for them, it's gotten very popular. But does that shake its dive bar status? I don't know.
No, I don't think popularity does. I think
church, having Jesus
the,
there?
The church helps, but, you know, it depends on, like, if they kind of sell out, you know? Like, you know, what's the Sloppy Joe's? You know, Sloppy Joe's probably originally, what, 50 years ago may have been a dive bar, but it's been a long time. They're a franchise now, basically.
Yeah, we have one in Treasure Island, and I can't stand it.
Captain Tony's, same thing. You know,
you got to rule out anything in the Keys. It's not real. They're not real dive bars in the Keys. But
they, 50 years ago, I think you could have made that argument before they became franchises. And so I think it's really close.
Well, I think this is a good topic for Brad and I to discuss on Florida Keys Spectacular. I want him to tell me if there are any good dive bars in the Keys.
That's a great transition that we could segue between the two podcasts. And I'd be really intrigued because it has been so long since I've been to the Keys. There were some bars that were divey, but I don't know if you would call them dives. You know, they had divey aspects of them. You know, the one thing is places on the beach, if they're right on the beach and people are going in with swimsuits, tend to be a little grungier than, you know, bougie bars in downtown.
They might be bougie, but they're still going to charge you like $20 for a cocktail. So that's not a dive
bar. That's true. Yeah, so price is an important factor. There's a lot, you know, there are still some that I haven't been into Orlando because you kind of take them for granted. They've just been there forever. There's one called Big Daddy's, and I must have driven by that thousands of times, but never stopped in there. And I need to make an effort to go in there, but I kind of know what to expect. There's one called Burton's that is in another neighborhood called Thornton Park in Orlando. It used to be called Burton's Frosted Mug. And it's funny because I associate certain places with certain times and certain memories. I remember being there with a buddy and I had just broken up with a girlfriend and he gave me the classic line, "Well, you've dated everyone in Orlando. You might as well move now." So I'll never think of Burton's without thinking of that memory.
That's wild. And apparently so were you at the time.
It wasn't true. You know, there was more than like five women in Orlando at the time. So
I don't know. Orlando's grown a lot lately. Maybe there wasn't. Is Burton still around?
Burton's is still around. I haven't been in years. Everything around it has grown and, you know, the neighborhood has a brand now. So, I don't know. It's still the same. There used to be one right by the Executive Airport called Nancy's Guys and Dolls. And it reminded me of what you said about the one on Central, where I think the walls were originally white at one point, but there had been so much smoking over the years, they were brown. And never wanted to see it during the daytime.
I mean, there have been places I've walked into and went, how long has it been illegal to smoke? Because it still reeks in here. You know, it's a pervasive smell. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, I am sure our listeners are going to tell us we missed a lot. You know,
I hope so.
There are some in St. Pete I did not mention. Y'all can always reach out to us, Kathy with a C at floridaspectacular.com, and we will put them on our bucket list of things to investigate. How about that?
Yeah, that would be exciting. Maybe someday we could do a show live from a dive bar.
Oof, we could.
Well, you know, like Wally's right now, you know, we're recording this Wednesday morning. There are people drinking there, having a good time at Wally's already.
Yeah, I mean, it's It's not outside the realm of possibility. And speaking of live podcasts, we have been invited to do a live podcast at the October 19th Florida Springs Council Summit in Gulfport, Florida.
That's exciting. Are we going to have a guest, or we should have a guest on that show, I think.
So what they want us to do is they want us to do, and I'm giving a plug to Florida Springs Council and also to Florida Madcaps. They want the Florida Madcaps podcast to do a live podcast with us. So
that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, and none of us have ever done a live podcast before. So it's a new opportunity is how I'm choosing to look at it, Rick.
Interesting. That'll be fun. I've done the Florida, what is it called?
The summit or whatever.
The summit before. It's fun. And they usually get some heavy hitters in there. So you can learn a lot about springs and, you know, rub shoulders with people who know way more than you ever will about the environment in springs.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic weekend. I'm actually meeting with Ryan and Brenda, who works with them. Next week, they're coming over to Gulfport. We're going to do some recon for them and make some suggestions and hopefully find a way to make it even better for people.
It'd be fun to do like
Gulfport
to go to some of the little springs around there.
Yeah, I told them I would take them to the spring in somebody's backyard. And so that's always cool. But anyway. Maybe when you're down for that, I can finally take you to the Emerald and I'll stand outside. So, anyway, on that note, thank you for listening. Don't forget, you can always subscribe to our Florida Keys Spectacular podcast if you want to help support us all and make sure that Rick and I are still able to do God's work in Florida. That's how I'm choosing to say it this week, Rick.
Stay thirsty, my friends, I guess I would say.
Stay thirsty. We'll have a link to every place we mentioned in the show notes. So go check it out there and we'll see you next time on the Florida Spectacular. Thanks for listening.